We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. A few years ago, my mother-in-law pointed out that my spouse was starting to sound more and more like me whenever she spoke. Apparently, my wife had adopted a few of my mannerisms without really realizing it. And it got me to thinking, like, how many of her mannerisms have I inadvertently taken on as well? It's hard to say, because you can't see yourself saying things unless you're standing in front of a mirror talking to yourself, which is, that always kind of creeps me out. Or unless, of course, like, you're recording yourself and watching it later, which is also just kind of weird. Unless, of course, you're making church for the YouTubes. No, it's still weird. I've done it every week for a year now. It's weird. But here's what I can say. I can say that because of my spouse, I have grown to have a deep love for the ballet, whereas it wasn't really my scene before. And I will admit that I am usually moved to tears by the end of each and every show. I also know that because of my spouse's influence in my life, I become elated whenever a Journey song, any Journey song, comes on the radio. I crank it up, and I venerate the blessed Steve Perry in all of his unrivaled vocal glory. My sincerest hope is that one day, after we all have crossed through those pearly heavenly gates, we will discover that Steve Perry has been invited to be the lead cantor in the heavenly choir. I can just picture it now. Steve Perry belting out the Sanctus with seraphim-like perfection. And while we are all singing holy, holy, holy along with him, there'll be like an army of angels playing electric guitars with like flames shooting out everywhere with each and every chord they strike. And then Jesus will like step down off of the throne and play the most mind-bending guitar solo the universe has ever known. And all of the saints and all of the angels won't know whether or not they need to shout out Hosanna or Rock On. Anyways, I digress. Sorry for that. I also know that because of my spouse, I am beginning to feel that Easter candy is the best, the pinnacle of all the candies. Her passion for egg-shaped chocolate has impacted me on an existential level. Now, it's not that I was aiming to become more like my spouse, even though I can think of no better person to imitate, honestly. And it wasn't like she was aiming to become more like me, either. Rather, this kind of sharing of traits, it's simply the byproduct of spending so much time together with a person that you deeply love and admire. Their characteristics just sort of have a way of rubbing off on you. I recently read that not only do couples begin to take on the same mannerisms and characteristics of each other as they age, but many even start to look alike. Have you read about this? The University of Michigan did a study where they compared the wedding photos of newlyweds to photos that were taken of these exact same couples 25 years later. The interesting thing is that the research not only found that in each relationship, the people really did turn out to look more alike, but the research also found that the couples who claimed that they were really happy together, they actually turned out to look even more like each other than the couples who weren't so happy. The happier the couple, the more that the couple began to share common physical features. Fascinating. The lead researcher on the project, because they don't really know why this is the case, but he suggested that these happier couples probably looked more alike because each partner genuinely enjoyed the other person's company. And as a result, they spent more time actually talking with each other. And because of so much face-to-face interaction, they probably unknowingly began to mimic each other's facial expressions. This is what made them look more like each other. I mean, it makes sense to me. Let's say that you're somebody who has a spouse who laughs a lot. And as a result of their humorous spirit, you all spend year after year laughing a lot together. It's likely that you both will develop laugh lines around your mouths in about the same places, right? In other words, the more you love someone, the more you will wrinkle in the same spots as them. Or let's just say that you are someone whose partner enjoys being cranky with you, and you both thoroughly enjoy yelling at the neighborhood kids to get off your lawn. Then you will probably develop the same sort of frown lines on your faces, right? Or perhaps the same sort of angry vein will protrude from both of your foreheads in the same spot. It is really fascinating that the more time you spend with someone, and the more joyful you are in doing so, the more like them you will become. In sharing life with them, you start to talk like them and act like them, and you even wind up kind of looking like them. And you will begin to love the types of things that they love. You start to love something purely because your beloved loves it. This is also what happens when we love God. We become more like God in our actions and in our speech, and even in the way we look, oddly enough. As St. Paul once said, as we contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being ever transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory. Not only that, but we also begin to love the types of things that God loves. I mean, this is pretty much the entire point of 1 John, especially our reading from today. Those who abide in Christ will end up loving like Christ. And this love, it's more like a spousal or a romantic love than an ethical, commandment-oriented type of love. Yes, John does use the word commandment quite a bit in his letter, but he is doing so only to undermine the very notion of commandment whenever it comes to love. In his mind, we should not love because we are commanded to do so. If we love only because it is what is demanded of us, it would mean that it's not real love that we are practicing. Love loves freely, or it's no love at all. No, we should love because we are compelled to do so, inwardly moved to do so. We are to love because we are filled with the very love that God is. It's very obvious to me that in John's mind, love is more caught than taught. It is the product of spending so much time with God, meditating on God's presence around us, meditating on God's presence within us. It's not at all about thinking about the types of loving things that Jesus would do, for example, and then going and doing those types of loving things. If we were to think in this way, John would tell us that we have completely missed the point, because imitating love is not the same thing as loving, even if we're imitating Jesus' love. It has to be genuine from us as well. Many preachers, I've heard it said many times, many preachers have said that love is a feeling. Other preachers have said love is not a feeling, it's a verb. Well, all of these folks are wrong. Love is not a matter of doing, nor is love a matter of feeling. Love is a matter of being. We are made in the image of God, and God is love. We are to become love. And when we become love, yes, we can't help but act lovingly and feel lovingly. But if we treat love as if it's nothing more than a verb, and we choose to act lovingly without first becoming love, again, it's not love that we are practicing, for love cannot be hypocritical. It has to be genuine. The person who truly loves other people, who truly lays down her life for others, is somebody whose main aim in life isn't to lay down her life for others. It is not something she is trying to do. Rather, her main goal is to simply be close to the divine. But now she has found that mysteriously her heart is infused with the very sacrificial love that God is. Love has become her nature. She doesn't have to think about it anymore. She simply loves. She simply loves the things and especially the people that God loves. God's presence has rubbed off on her. She can't help but be more loving like Jesus in the same way that couples can't help but turn out to be more like each other. The relationship itself has transformed her. She has taken on the mannerisms of her beloved. Love for her is not something she does. Love is what she is. She has become what Christ is in her. She is love, as God is love. My friends, if you wish to love more, if you wish to become a more loving person, then stop trying to become a more loving person. For trying to love and actually loving, they're not the same thing. Instead, it would be wiser to rest in the love that God is. Abide in the love that God is, and let the love that God is abide in you. Then, love will no longer be something that you have to think about. Love will become the very thing that you are.